It is the presence and power of the Holy Spirit that abides within those that are God's children. Amen. If you know that you know that you know, give God some praise in the house. Hallelujah. Your salvation should not be something you guess about. It has to be something that you know. And the witness of his presence is that he brings about a change. And he just won't let you act like you used to act. Amen. And we should be constantly changing. We are on the 30th. I thought I was going to be finished by now. God said, nah, you ain't finished yet. We're on the 30th sermon of this series that's really dealing with the deconstruction of idols in order that the living Christ shall be resurrected in our lives. I think that one of the greatest things that we have to deconstruct is the idol of me. The idol of you. That we have to die to self in order for Christ to become his power, his kingdom, authority, become alive in us. Hallelujah. Amen. I guess I'll start reading Philippians, and it reads as such in our hearing. That I may know him, and watch this, and the power of his resurrection. Paul says that because we are his children, the power of his resurrection is now made available to us. Somebody say power. And the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. And Paul said, I am dying to me in order to become alive to him. He says, not that I have already attained. I have already been made ready, perfect, or mature. But I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. He said, he just didn't accidentally save you. Before the foundation of the world, he picked you out. He called you. Before Genesis 1:1, God had you in mind. Oh, that's an awesome thought. God went to the end, went back to the beginning, set everything in order, and said, let it be. That means that even now, you're already victorious. It really doesn't matter what situation you may be in. God knows the end of the situation, and he already calls us conquerors. Somebody need a shout about that. I do not count myself as apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things that are behind me and reaching forward to those things that are ahead of me, I press, I run, I stress toward the goal for which the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now watch this, this is interesting. He said, therefore let us as many are mature, who are spiritually mature, have this same mindset. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will be revealed to you, even this to you. Then he says, nevertheless, to the degree that you have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. Amen. Father, help us to see that we've been called into kingdom, dominion, and power. Hide me behind your Shekinah glory. That we may see the truth. That we may know the truth. That we may, Lord, that it may catch hold of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I really think that Paul had a different perspective than most of us. I think in his walk with Jesus, in his journey with Jesus, God kept on turning on the light. It went from complete darkness. It's like a dimmer switch that the more you walk with him, the more you seek him, the more you seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, God will begin to illuminate more truth, more understanding, more enlightenment, that after a while you begin to understand that the way you used to think was totally wrong. The things you used to chase was totally out of bounds. And I think that as we chase God, that our thinking changed, our perspective changed. What we thought was so right is now so wrong. We as a church, as God's people, have to understand we are kingdom people. Last week I started with the Lord's Prayer because the Lord's Prayer is all up in here. We are God's children. When the Lord's Prayer said, our Father, that was something that the Jewish people would never say. They could not relate to him as Abba, as Father, because there was fear of him. But God has called us and told us that he has put in us his spiritual DNA, that we are now his children that can run to him in prayer. Hallelujah. He said, come boldly unto the throne of grace. That means that with your problems, with your issues, even with our sins, he said, don't run from me, run to me. My 2-year-old grandson, he picked up this toy and he didn't know how to turn it on, so he came running. Now, but he's running fast, and he fell on hardwood floors. I told everybody, shh, because I'm not going to respond until he responds. He picked himself up, rubbed his elbow, and came over me and handed me his toy. You know, that is the picture that God wants of us. That in the chasing of him, if we fall, don't sit there. Don't sit down. Don't run away. He says, pick yourself up, rub the spot where you hurt, and keep on coming. He's our Father. He's our keeper. He's our way maker. Listen. The source of our power, the source of our authority is God through Jesus Christ. If you are allowing the devil to beat you, you need to open up your mouth. Well, let me explain. If someone is condemning you, that is not your heavenly Father. If someone is putting you down, those negative thoughts that is in your head, calling you dummy, calling you no good, you would never make it, that's of the devil. And you need to open up your mouth and speak back and say, you don't know who I am, do you? You don't know I'm God's child. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. I got his spiritual DNA. I may not be all that I've been called to be yet, but I'm pressing towards the mark. I'm working towards this thing. And though I have fallen, I'm getting back up. Is there anybody in the house that's getting back up? Talk back. Start praising God. Start telling the devil, you on your way to hell. Well, I'm on my way to heaven now. And turn him off and turn on the word of God. We have to learn to walk in the power and authority that has been given us. There's dual kingdoms. There's dual kingdoms. In Mark chapter 4, and Luke also has it too, and it talks about that Jesus being led into the wilderness, and in the wilderness, the devil tempts him. The devil comes at him. The devil comes at him the same way he comes at us with the lust of the flesh. That's sensuality. That's self-gratification. With lust of the eye, that's things. If you could just get a better house, if you could just drive a bigger car, if you can just do this, you think that everything will be okay. Well, ask somebody. That car that costs $100,000 rusted out like a hoopy does. A bigger house means more dust, more cleanup, more problems. And we think we're doing something until trouble hits. There should not be an attitude of trying to keep up with nobody. You got enough on your own plate. And it comes with trouble. Have you noticed that? But God, Satan says to Jesus, he said, this kingdom, this world, and all its glory was handed to me. It was delivered to me. Listen, Adam gave it to the devil. And you wonder why you have so much trouble? You wonder why when you make a deeper commitment, more trouble comes? I say this to people all the time. I said, listen, we're not home yet. This isn't home. Whether you know it or not, you are on the battlefield. Whether you know it or not, the devil is trying to dampen and hinder and impede your witness. Whether you know it or not, the way we live makes a difference. People are watching us. People are watching to see if we go to church on Sunday, is it making a difference on Monday? They want to know. They want to see kingdom. They want to see the power of Christ. Do we have the power, watch this, not to live perfectly, but to live better? Oh, somebody didn't hear that. Somebody ought to be shouting. It doesn't mean that I got more patience than I used to. Listen, you cannot separate patience from faith. Why? Faith means you trust God in the waiting. You trust God, and the trust keeps you on track. You know he said it. You know he said he's going to do it. But all hell done broke loose. Let me ask you, is the hell down here bigger than your God up there? And when we live kingdom living, our Father, hallowed, you are bigger than it all. You are greater than everything else. Lord, you are my Father, and I'm looking to you because you are separated from everything else. So no matter what happens down here, I believe that you're able to take care of me. Somebody said in Sanger, said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And that means putting God in control of the good times, the bad times, the hard times, the times when you just don't understand. I say this all the time. David is being chased by Saul, who was his mentor. And he writes Psalms 27 at this time. And he says some things that are startling. He said, if my mother and my father forsake me, Lord, you will take me up. He said, I would have fainted. I would have gave up. I would have threw in the towel. I would have killed myself unless I believe to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You know what he was saying? He said, my hope in him kept me on track. Instead of listening to what's happening, instead of watching Saul chasing me, I kept my eyes on the Lord. He promised me he has a future for me. So in spite of how it looks right now, I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord, because I know my God can't lie. I know my God is good. And as long as I wait on him, sooner or later, my change is going to come. Let me speak to somebody. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Sooner or later, your change is going to come. Notice what he does after Father. He says, Hilo, he said, I know your character. I know who you are. Lord, I'm not using my circumstance to define who you are. I'm not going by what the world says to define who you are. Lord, your word defines you, and what you have done in my past helps me to stand flat-footed right now. I got to go here. Is there anybody seen the goodness of the Lord in your past? Is there anybody been delivered from things in your past? Is there anybody in the house? Don't be quiet on me now. Is there anybody in the house where God made a way out of no way? Is there anybody in the house know that you wouldn't have made it if it had not been for the Lord in your life? You know, I discovered sometimes if we're not careful, we take credit for what the Lord did. Well, girl, I don't know how you made it through all that. Well, you know, I'm strong. Man, how did you come up out of that? Man, I just got a strong mind. And we steal the credit from God, and we take credit for what we couldn't have done ourselves. Jesus says, without me, you can't do nothing. I was asked a question. Dr. Smith called me up. He's doing an article, and he asked me a question. He said, I just want you in short, concise way, explain to me what you learned, what you wish you knew then that you have learned now. This is what I told him. When I started, I thought I was capable. Now I know I'm not. What you mean you're not? I'm not capable of anything. And you know what that does? It keeps me on my knees. When you know you can't, it keeps you. Lord, I need you. Listen, I don't think my prayer stops. I'm praying throughout the day. Why? I don't know about you. I need him. I've been in the store and sometimes find myself talking to him and people looking at me crazy. You know what? I don't care. I need him. See, if you just got a day and not, listen, no, every breath I take, every move I make, maybe you're not facing the stuff I'm facing, but it really doesn't matter because you need him too. And when you find yourself talking to God all day, the devil can't get in. He can't disturb your peace. He can't start talking to you because you're talking to your heavenly Father and you have created a space that is between you and your Father, and the devil can't get in between because you already in conversation with God. Is there anybody know what I'm talking about? I think my fact, the more trouble you in, the more you need to increase that. Jesus come down off the Mount of Transfiguration, and there's a crowd that is gathered, and there's commotion. And people started running to Jesus after he had this mountaintop experience. And they said, Jesus, we brought this little boy to you, and your disciples tried to cast it out, but they can't. Jesus sees the little boy, and immediately the demon throws the boy down. He starts making noise and foaming at the mouth. And it's interesting what Jesus said. He said, how long? How long has he been like this? Listen, Jesus already knows, but he's doing a question so that we can hear the answer. Since he's been a boy. Let me show you what was going on. The degree of darkness kept on getting deeper the longer you stay in darkness. The degree of Satan taking over, it keeps getting deeper the longer you stay in it. He sets more chains to the degree that this little boy and the reaction of what was happening, Jesus already knew this wasn't a yesterday thing. Jesus rebuked it. Little boy looks like he's dead. Jesus, he gets up alive. He's fine. The disciple comes and says, why couldn't we? Watch what I'm saying. Because of the manifestation of this demon in this boy, they heard things and saw things they never saw before. And you know what happened to their faith? Out the door. They became more conscious of that than they was of him. The more time you stay in the Word, you stay in prayer, the more real the Word of God becomes. The greater your faith becomes that he's not a distant God, he's a right here God. The more you begin to walk in a presence and a power of Jesus, that you know it's not your own. How can I say this? Lord, help me. Listen, the peace of God for us should be the norm, not the exception. The peace of God, and when you develop this thing, when you don't have the peace, you feel like something wrong. I need to spend some more time in prayer because I'm not supposed to be worrying. When you know who you are in Christ, there's some benefits that come with knowing Jesus, knowing how to use the name of Jesus, knowing how to take your place and say, I'm a child. He says, thy kingdom come. He says, Lord, though I'm in the devil's kingdom physically, I'm operating in your kingdom. Somebody don't hear that. Somebody don't understand that. But there's a reality of God that is made available for believers that non-believers can't experience. Let me say that again. There is a reality of the power and authority. He says in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, he says that all the blessings of spiritual blessings has already been given to you. Ephesians chapter 2 says, you are seated in heavenly places right now in Christ Jesus. Hold on. He said, all the blessings that I want you to have has already been made available, but you just have to trust it. He said, you have already, you're not seated earthly. Your source is coming from heavenly, and that's authority. He said, I have already deposited to you in Christ Jesus, but you have to take me at my word. Hold on. He says in Hebrews chapter 4, he said, don't be like the first generation of the children of Israel, that from the foundation of the world, I had given them the promised land, and all they had to do is take their big feet and walk in it. I didn't tell them to train. I didn't tell them to become expert warriors. God said, well, heck, I just delivered them from the most powerful kingdom on the earth, and they didn't have to do nothing but sit there. If I was able to do that, and I'm able to fight the battle before them, you don't know, it just hit me. You know what God is saying? If I saved you, if I told the devil to take the blindfold off of you so that you could see that I was your savior, if I changed you from what you used to be to what you are now, if I made the devil sit down for a moment until I could give you illumination of Jesus, if I could do that in your past, can I take care of your present and your future? Now, what when I think about it, you know what I think about? Egypt was more powerful than any of them that's in the promised land. If he could deliver them from the most powerful empire on the face of the earth, what are these things? Then it hit me. Hit me again. He said, the greatest miracle in your life has already been done. The fact that I saved you. If I did that and you're really sad, what is it you can't overcome? What is it he can't take you through? What is it you can't put up with? What is it God can't do for you if we just trust him at his word? Someone says power, authority has been given unto us. Come closer. Come closer. I'm gonna whisper this. This is a secret. We set the limits of what we receive by our faith. Gotta trust him. The battle is about our faith. Lord, I can't. And God said, you don't trust me, huh? Now, I agree that it takes a discipline to keep moving closer. Paul says, I press because there's more. Then he goes down and says, for those of you that are mature, you know I'm telling the truth. He said, for those that haven't reached it yet, if you keep on pressing, you will begin to see what I'm talking about. Then he said something strange. He said, nevertheless, maintain. He look what he said. He said, nevertheless, don't let the devil make you back up. Yeah. Nevertheless, don't give up. What you know, you know. Don't let rationale take away what you know. Let me ask a question. Do you know something? Do you know something about your God? Do you know something about you, Jesus? Have you experienced something of him? And you know that you know that you know. Then take what you know, stand flat-footed, tell the devil he's a liar, and tell everybody what you know, what you know. Know what I discovered? Know what I discovered? The more I rehearse what he has done, the more I know it. Hold on. It works both ways. If you keep saying the lie and the doubt and rationale, after a while, even the lie sounds like truth. Once you say it enough, you know it's a lie. It started off as a lie. You're trying to get away with something and you lying. But if you keep on saying it long enough, a flat out lie, nothing but a lie, will become the truth in your own mind, because you done lied about it so long, you now think it's... We're in a fight. Attaining grounds of knowing him, trusting him, experience him, becoming more like him. What time is it? Okay, I got to begin to wrap this up. Listen. We have bought the lie that our purpose down here is to live our best lives. And God's not included in that best life. Let me show you what your best life is. Here is the demoniac. They come up on the shore, and one version said there's two. Someone write that there's one, because the one was more imposing. The one was, you look at him, he brings fear. Scripture says that they bind him with chains and this legions, which we really don't even know how many a legion in the Roman army is, something like 6,000 soldiers. We say it's 2,000 because it was 2,000 pigs. That's not the count of what was in him. They are unified because they talk as one, and they have broken chains. He lives in a desolate place because darkness like dark. Let me explain. If Do not think you're better than the people you're hanging around, because you wouldn't be hanging around them if you was better. Unless you're witnessing to them and bring them, and if your light is shining, they don't want to be around you anyway. But if you sitting and you cooling and y'all shooting it breeze on the phone for 12 hours, well, by scripture put it like this, birds, oh, y'all heard that, flock. So if you call yourself an eagle, saw the strangest thing the other day. This big bird was flying. I was looking at it soaring. It was kind of low. And it was this little bird flying behind it. And it was pecking it on his head. Like. And then that bird was trying to dodge it. And I said, well, why don't it grab it? And I realized that the little bird could do acrobats that the big bird couldn't do. Can I say this? I also saw this eagle, and I was on, it was on YouTube, this eagle fighting the chicken, and the eagle got his butt kicked. He's not supposed to be on the ground. He's not supposed to be in the chicken. That rooster went out there. Had him down on the ground, and the crow was, and the eagle was crying. I said, this is amazing. The eagle is the top bird, not on the ground. You get where you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be soaring. You're supposed to be up on the cliff. You catch things out the air. You come up behind things, pick them up. You're not supposed to be in a chicken fight. So what? They crowing at you. So what? The rooster roosting at you. Stay in your position. Be who you are. Know who you are. The demoniac ran at him, and the demon got too close. It fell and worshiped. It said, we know who you are. We know who you are. Is it time to torment us yet? They said, give us favor and let us go into the pigs. Jesus said, go. They went. The pigs were smart enough to say, not this. Let's run off the cliff. They find him on the boat. He's in his right mind. It was strange to me. They said, Lord, let me go with you. Let me go with you. The strange thing, I know he would have made a perfect disciple after what he been through. After what he said, Jesus said, no. Because what I have for you, you'll be more impactful than going with me. He said, go back to Decapolis. Decapolis means 10 cities. He said, and tell them your story of what I have done for you. In chapter 7 of Mark, that's chapter 5, in chapter 7 of Mark, he goes back to the same area that told him, no, we're scared of you. We don't know what you have done. Those pigs was our livelihood, and we don't want you here. Would you please leave? Now, in chapter 7 of Mark, he comes back, and they're bringing people to him. You know why? You know what was the difference between chapter 5 and chapter 7? His testimony. He didn't know all that. He didn't have all the doctrines. But what he had was, you knew me before. But look at me now. Oh, there ought to be more clapping in the house. There ought to be someone saying, I understand. And guess what? He didn't say, oh, I was strong. He didn't say, I just willed it out. He said, I met a man named Jesus, and he changed me. He told the devil to take his hand off of me. I'm not what I used to be because I met Jesus, and he's the best thing that ever happened to me. You know what? We can change our families if we just remember our story. We can change people around us if we just tell them we met Jesus, and ever since I met him, there's been a difference in my life. Listen, there's enough power in this room to change the atmosphere. I expect the atmosphere to change when I walk in the room, not because I'm somebody, but my Lord Jesus is everybody. And where I go, he's going with me. I was in a place. Matter of fact, I was at a place for crazy people. Called there for a family, someone going just out of control. Everybody in the room was scared. I looked at them, called their name, and I went, shh. And they sat down. Was it me? Was it me? But I knew the authority and power of Jesus was in the room. Took another person to psych ward, and the doctor said, he came in the room. All of a sudden, security guards came up from everywhere. He said, do you know his story? I said, a little bit. But I'm around him all the time because I know the power of Jesus. And I know how to pray. We are seated in a place of power and authority. Now, I tell you, don't go no place God don't send you. But if he puts you in that situation, if you find yourself there, know who you are, whose you are. Watch this, not in your name, but in the name of Jesus. Let's see, I don't have my wallet on. Randy, do you got your wallet on you? Man, can I borrow one of your cards? Knowing you, you probably got a black card. You know, that expensive one. So he don't want to give me his card. Come on, man. Hurry up, man. I got to finish this. Guess what he has just done? He has given me his card. I wish I had my name on it. But it don't got my name on it. But wait a minute. Didn't Jesus say, in my name? He said, when you pray in my name, oh man, you go with your best self. This is one of these cards that you don't only slide it, you can insert it, but you can tap it. You know you something. Did you know that if you know Jesus, he has given you his name? He said, in my name, you can rebuke the devil. In his name, you can stand flat-footed and be who he says you are. In his name, you can call on his strength. I don't know about you, but I have some hard days. But I've learned that I could take what he said in the Old Testament to the children of Israel. He said, as your day is, so shall be your strength. He said, it doesn't matter what comes against you. Don't matter who comes against you. He said, if you stand in the name of Jesus, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the same power he will send your way. Tap it. Tap it. In the name of Jesus, tap the authority and power he has given us. I believe God is waiting on us. At some point, I had to challenge myself because I said, Lord, you said that the devil come to steal, kill, and destroy. Lord, I don't have your peace because I was allowing what was on the outside to get on the inside years ago. I said, Lord, but you said you come to give me abundant life. And Lord, I need that peace. I need that joy. I need that whatever in me to be able to withstand whatever happened around me. Lord, I know you don't lie. Lord, I have a choice to make is to quit preaching because you're lying. I trust you at your word. And as I kept praying and growing, more peace. More joy. Now, I got to tell you, when you get serious about the word of God, the devil gets serious about you. Listen, the trouble didn't stop. Matter of fact, it increased. But I discovered you can be in hell and still have peace. I discovered all hell can break around you, and you don't have to allow it to move you from who you know you are. See, hold on. It doesn't matter if you don't know who I am, as long as I know who I am. Somebody can tell you, your name ain't that. And you say, my mama said my name is this. My daddy said my name is this. I don't care what you say. I'm going to believe them. Guess what? The devil can come at you saying anything. And you can say, but my Father in heaven said I'm chosen. I'm forgiven. I'm his beloved. That he loves me. He loves me. And if you say anything different, I don't care what you say. I'm not listening to you. I know what the word says. Turn to your neighbor. Neighbor, Do you know? He loves you. Oh, yes, he does. Oh, yes, he does. Now turn to yourself. Self, he loves me. I don't care what you think. He. He says, maintain. Don't give in to what you already have. Fight for it. Stand on it. Then move a little bit closer. Speak it. Read it. Pray about it. We have the weapons at our disposal. And he says, if we do his, if we do our part, he has already done his part. Oh, what a mighty God. Your story don't have to be my story, but you ought to have a story. He's faithful. He's good. And he loves you beyond what you have ever been loved before. Father, right now, send out your power. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, send out your power. He is pulling you from where you are to where you need to be. Colossians said that we've been translated from the power of darkness to the power of God. We're his. And if you don't know him, he's calling you. He's loving you. And he's asking you to receive Jesus, who died for your sins, but got up conquering death, conquering sin, conquering the devil for you, for me, for us. But you got to receive that for yourself. You got to say, Lord, forgive me. I want to give my life to you. Those that are watching, you can do it in your bedroom. I came back to the Lord Jesus Christ in my bedroom. Had not been to church since I was 13. But God said, it's time for me to get a hold of you. And he said, choose. It's a choice. It's a choice. And life hasn't never been the same since. What he done for others, he will definitely do for you. You can say, Lord Jesus, today, I accept you as my Lord and Savior. And the power of God will invade your space and come into your heart. In the house, I got ministers here. You can do the same too. But I got ministers here that will pray with you, that will talk with you. And as we dismiss, you can come up here. Listen, don't worry about what anybody else says because it's personal. It's personal. As we stand, and if you want to make your way up front, come on. Come on. Lord. Lord. Move upon this congregation even now. I pray, oh Lord, that you make clear what I said, even if I said it unclear, you make it clear. Allow the illumination of the truth of your word to fall fresh on every hearer. Lord, make it real. Help us to be confronted by the truth of your word, by the Holy Spirit.